Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today our scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, which says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." These are wonderful scriptures to contemplate the importance of what is being taught here. At some point, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. Those of us who are on the earth at that time will be instantly transformed into our eternal body. And that's called the rapture of the church. But you know, everyone who is ever born is actually living their eternal life. Those of us who are believers, those of us who accepted Christ as our Savior, we are the sons of God, the children of God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, who's our Savior. But others who do not believe these things will not be in heaven, but will be in a place of torment forever and ever and ever. These are not pleasant things that I like to speak about, but these are biblical truths. The problem is that this book claims to be God's authority and God's book. And the roadmap says that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Those who believe, they've received their Savior. Those who believe are the ones that go to heaven, are in His presence, and serve Him throughout eternity. Some of us are on that narrow way that Jesus talked about when He was on earth, and some are on the broad way, which leads to destruction. I trust that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're born again by the Spirit of God, and you're serving Him today.
Amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
This is Dennis Campbell standing in again for Dr. Albrecht on this edition of the Global Times. And again, this week we have Melissa, Communications Director at Mission Go, sharing with us some of the events that she reports on from Sierra Leone, West Africa. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Great.
So tell us an example of how the missionaries interact with the local people.
Yes. So, well, let me start with this. We have a number of missionaries who came to Mission Go in 2017. We have a really sweet nurse who came. Her name is Heather. And then we also had the privilege of having a retired couple give up everything they have and move all the way across to Sierra Leone, West Africa. She is a teacher. Her name is Beth. And Bill is an engineer and facilities manager at our compound. And so they really use their talents in a beautiful way to minister to the locals of Makanji. And it's a beautiful thing. They have all kinds of ministries there. So Bill really focuses on not only doing facilities, but also informal theology training. So about twice a week, he meets with about 20 local pastors in the neighboring areas, and he has the joy of really teaching them solid doctrine, which is so important over there. And Beth is a teacher there. She helps the orphanage program, and that orphanage program has up to, at any time, 50 at-risk girls. And after school, they come to a program that we have called the Treehouse Learning Center. We have a library there, and we have a learning center. And so she's able to help, along with actually some nationals who are very good in English, that really help these precious children excel in areas that they wouldn't otherwise.
That's great. So we have these programs. We understand even Heather recently started working with women on some weaving programs.
Oh, you know, I have a beautiful story about that. So there's a weaving program. Heather's also been doing, she is such a self-starter. She's been doing all kinds of things because of COVID-19. And what is so special is back in the States, she has nephews and nieces who heard of people needing food in Mekongi, and they set up a lemonade stand, and they raised thousands of dollars for this special project that Heather had. So not only is she making a big difference, but her family is as well.
That's great. And that was, again, providing a really viable skill for these local people. It provided a product. And I understand, and I know Heather pretty well, I've met her, that she was doing a lot of Bible studies in all these groups. So these people were getting the gospel at the same time they were coming for that training.
Yes, that is the main focus for our missionaries. You know, Bill and Beth and also Heather, it's very important because you need a holistic approach to reaching people with the gospel. Not only are you meeting, you know, elementary school needs and high school needs and pastoral needs, but you're also trying to reach them physically. A holistic approach is so important.
Yes, it reminds me in the Bible when Jesus was at the well in Samaria, when the lady didn't understand why he was there. And he had an opportunity, of course, to really expose the whole truth of the gospel in her life. And we see that same thing happening in a location like this, where the missionaries, by simply being there, bringing something and people seeking of why are you here, and beginning to explain why Christ has sent them there.
Absolutely. So what I wanted to share with you today is a specific story, and it's something that at the office we've been so touched over, and we really wanted to share it with you all today. So a background to this story is that in Mekongi, Sierra Leone, not a lot of people have access to medical care except for our clinic in that area. And something that's really sobering is a lot of them really struggle trying to find food, sufficient food for their families. And because of that, medical care is something that's super extra for them, and they don't necessarily see that as an important thing compared to food. So when we get patients at our clinic, many times it's very last minute and it's very emergency in nature. So recently, as Dennis and I were telling you, it's very important to build local relationships. And Bill and Heather and Beth have really been doing such a phenomenal job at that, so much so that a sweet woman named Tenna, when she had her precious child, she named it after Bill.
Well, I know a little background of that story. And we're going to have the audience come back next week to hear the outcome of what happens when a child that has been named after American missionary enters the healthcare system at that location. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you're aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without the support of our listeners and the letters that they send in to us. We appreciate you so much, and we pray for each and every one of you. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet on understanding the book of Revelation. This is a tremendous pamphlet that has charts and maps that break down the different chapters of Revelation and make Revelation readily readable and understandable. I highly recommend this booklet because I believe the Lord's coming soon, and it has the four different views of how you interpret Revelation. You can read those and decide which one fits your theology. My theology is that I believe that the next event prophetically is the rapture of the church, and of course that's one of the four views, and you can look at that, and I do believe that the Lord is coming soon. So, to order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And don't forget to pray for our broadcast.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I wondered how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall end. My sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous and how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled Bible Fear Nots for Believers. Printed copies are available upon request.
We have just entered another new year with all its possibilities. In a world of war and terrorism, many wonder what this year might hold. Well, today I would like to talk with you about overcoming fear. Our topic is Bible Fear Nots for Believers. Fear has always been a factor in a changing world. A man wrote some years ago, "Our world is changing so rapidly. My grandmother rode in a horse and buggy, but she was afraid to ride in a car. My mother rode in a car, but was afraid to ride in an airplane. I ride in an airplane, but I'm a bit afraid to ride in a jet. My daughter rides in a jet, but she's afraid to ride in a horse and buggy." Well, many of our generation will certainly have to struggle with the fear of change. But even some of the greatest men of the world have struggled with fear. It is said that Julius Caesar gladly faced the roar from the clash of thousands of armed men in battle, but turned craven at the sound of a thunderstorm. He would seek relief under the nearest thing that he could find. Stalin, a former ruler of Russia, was so afraid of being killed, we are told, that he had 8 bedrooms built like iron vaults No one knew which one he would sleep in. We wonder if the man who killed millions of his own people, even then, ever got a good night's rest. Fear is a tool used by the adversary of the believer. Satan doesn't change much. He tried to cower the Old Testament believers by using fear, and he does the same today. God's word says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29. Absolute trust in God and in the promises of his word can overcome fear. Nehemiah was called of God in the Old Testament to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. As always, there was oppression by unbelievers. They first tried ridicule, then they tried mockery. It didn't work. Then they got serious, and in chapter 4, they planned to come secretly against them with the sword, it says. Their plans were made known to Nehemiah. He called Israel to arm themselves, saying in verse 14, "Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and daughters, your wives and your houses." The adversaries heard that the Jews knew of their plans and were now armed and determined, and they melted away. The threat of fear had been tried but had failed. Trust in God and determination had won the day. In a publication recently, I read of a native woman on the mission field whose life had been oppressed with evil spirits. Her life was evil and full of bondage to sin. One day she heard the missionaries and the gospel of Jesus Christ saying that God's Son had loved her and died for her on the cross. She received Christ and was gloriously delivered and began to share with all around the wonderful gospel. Police came and dragged her to the station and threatened her, demanding that she not use the name of Jesus. She replied by sharing God's plan of salvation in Christ. They were infuriated, but she calmly said to them, "I'm not afraid of the demons anymore. Why should I be afraid of you?" They were dumbfounded and released her. Now, not all stories end in such a good way, but what courage God gave that woman as she trusted in the Savior and refused to bow to fear. Someone has said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year. Now, if God has said it so often, he must want us to sit up and take notice. So let us look at a few of these special admonitions from God. First, for those who might fear the future, God says in Isaiah 41:13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Now, notice in this great promise that God first reaches down and grasps our poor, weak, failing hand. He lifts us up, he holds us, and then gives the gracious, comforting words, "Fear not, I will help thee." There's a story told of the early days where a father sent his very young son to town to do an errand. It had taken longer than planned, and it was beginning to get dark before the young lad began to make his homeward way. As he walked, he began to think about the deep, dark ravine he would have to cross before coming to his home. His mind began to think of all kinds of scary things that would dwell there, and with great fearfulness and trembling, he began to enter that last dark part of his journey. He heard a noise. Then a voice called out, "Johnny, is that you?" The father, knowing what his young son would experience, had come to walk with him through that dark part. With his little hand secure in that of his big, loving father, the boy's fears vanished. Friends, is our Heavenly Father less caring than an earthly father? Will he not come with the assurance of his presence and say, "Fear not, I am with thee"? When we face the dark and threatening experiences that life usually brings, let us have wisdom enough to recognize him. Let us reach out our trembling, weak hand and by faith receive him and all that he brings, his peace and love, confidence and courage. The knowledge that with God, fears must cease. In Psalm 34, King David came to just such a place in his life when he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. What a verse that we can take with us into this year. Then, in life, invariably, there come days of darkness, even depression, days when hope seems lost. As great a man as Abraham, still knew times of darkness. Genesis 15 and 12 says, Lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. He was alone in a hostile land. Unknown enemies were all around. Drought plagued the land. Abraham certainly experienced difficult times. But it resulted in God making a great covenant with him to give his descendants the promised land. The Apostle Paul knew real times of discouragement as well when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, For we would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Friends, that is real darkness, discouragement, and depression. But God delivered him as he trusted in the Lord and made him stronger in faith and commitment. Back in about 530 BC, a small remnant of the Jews returned to their land under Zerubbabel from Babylon. They began with great enthusiasm and excitement to rebuild the city and the temple. But when they actually saw the extent of the devastation that Jerusalem had undergone, they became disillusioned and disheartened and discouraged. They were few in numbers, enemies were around them, the task of rebuilding looked so hopeless that they were ready to give up. Then God spoke through Haggai the prophet, saying in chapter 2, verse 4, Be strong, O Zerubbabel, be strong, O Joshua the priest, be strong, all ye people of the land, and work. For I am with you. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. What encouragement these words brought to those discouraged people. They had the living God with them and his powerful, peerless spirit right there among them. They were to focus on their great God and his powerful spirit, not the enemies or the enormity of the task. Often fears depart and depression lifts when we take our eyes off ourselves and our situation and focus them on the great and caring God. The Jews of Zerubbabel's day did not know the Savior that we know, nor the promises of some scriptures. For instance, 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In Isaiah 43, we have a kind of a spiritual blueprint, as it were, for facing and overcoming fears. God speaks great words to Israel, so the first application will, of course, be to that nation. But Scripture says all Scripture is profitable, so a secondary application can also be directed to us as believers. Twice in the chapter, God says to fear not, for, so we can detect then reasons not to fear. In verse 1 we read, But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Then in verse 7, For I have created thee for my glory. So we see then God had a purpose in creating Israel, and us for that matter, and that was his own glory. He has a purpose for every person that is born. We need not pass through life aimless and directionless. We have the capacity to know God and to seek him and to fulfill a part of his great eternal plan. God will surely help you find that purpose for which you were created. Then verse 4 says, I have loved thee. So not only are we created, but we are loved of God. The word indicates passion. It reminds us of John 3:16, For God so loved the world. So means deeply and special. That is, God is passionate about lost men. The fact that he gave his son is irrefutable evidence of his eternal and great love. Then God says in verse 1 again, I have called thee. To hear God calling you to turn from your sin and to believe on his Son, well, that's a special privilege. God usually speaks in a still small voice. If we really are not interested in God's voice, then it can easily be drowned out by the way we live and the raucous noise of the world and self-seeking and self-gratification and the mad rush to have things. These all can conspire to crowd out God's voice. But God is persistent. Jesus said in Revelation 3, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." As long as there is any hope, Jesus will keep knocking, calling, hoping that you will listen and repent of your sins and let him into your life. Repent means to change your mind about or to turn around. A soldier once explained his conversion to Christ in this way. He said, "One day I was going my own sinful way, and I heard God call, 'Halt!' So I stopped. Then I heard God say, 'About face,' and I turned around. Then God said, 'Forward, march,' and I've been serving God ever since." Friends, if God is calling you today, then listen. Halt from your sinful ways. Make an about face and come to Christ in repentance and faith, and he will surely receive you, for he has said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Then verse 7 says, "I will gather thee." Oh, the God of heaven has a great and wonderful, satisfying future plan for all his people. This, of course, applies first to Israel. And God will bring them back to their land and make them a great nation, as his word promises. But he also has great plans for his church. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Revelation 7 says the Lamb shall lead them into living fountains of water. Ephesians 2 and 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Yes, there is purpose, passion, privilege, and a plan in God's word. I hope today you will turn from fear and trust in the living God.
I trust the message you just heard, it will be a real blessing to your spiritual life throughout this next week here at Canada's National Bible Hour. So we always share the gospel, and of course the gospel is very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He lived a sinless life with the goal to go to that cross, and on the cross he bore our sins in his own body as he hung on the tree. He took our place. I deserve to be on that cross paying for my sins, and so did you. But Jesus took our place. He was our substitute, and he died there. And he actually paid off all the sins, and the anger that God has for each and every one of our sins was put on Jesus Christ as he hung on that cross. And because of that, because he was a perfect sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice, he was able to purge our sins. He was able to wipe our sins out. He paid for them, and so we don't have to. Our sins are forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't sin and we need to confess our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But it does mean that we have life and life more abundantly. We're transformed from darkness to light, and we have eternal salvation, and we'll be eternally in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is really blessed us with the gospel message. I know that you'll really enjoy your copy of the booklet entitled Understanding the Book of Revelation. This is an important booklet that I believe will encourage you and help you grow in your spiritual life. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 2010, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also hear past broadcasts at our website at www.missiongo.org. And be sure to remember us in your prayers, and we thank you so much for the gifts and donations that people send in. Trust that the Lord will continue to bless you and keep you throughout this next week.